Thanks so much for being with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, small farmers do a lot to ensure the health and safety of their customers and their employees. And we're going to be talking to our next guest about the different methods farmers use and how they've dealt with the COVID-19 virus. Kristen Krokowski, our guest today, she's the commercial horticulture educator in the Division of Extension at UW-Madison, and she's also the director of the Wisconsin Farmers Market Association. So as we talk with her, there's a lot we can talk about. What would you like to know about safety standards for small farmers? Maybe you are a small farmer. How do you feel about going to farmers markets this year? If you're a consumer, do you feel safe? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Kristen Krokowski, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
It's always great to talk to you. Tell us about what you do as the state's commercial horticulture educator. Talk about that.
Lots of things, but so within the context of produce safety, I'm the state lead. I run the program to make sure that the farmers all over the state that grow fruits and vegetables have the training that they need to keep produce safe. So when I talk about produce safety, it's really about foodborne illness. So we've all heard about the problems with E. coli on spinach or cantaloupe or things like that. And we teach farmers how to, all the way from preparing their field, all the way to actually selling that produce to a person, what can they do during those steps to make sure that their produce doesn't become contaminated? And if for some reason it's contaminated, that contamination doesn't spread to other produce. It's everything. It's absolutely everything. It's about making sure people's hands are clean and you watch out for deer in the fields and all that kind of stuff.
You work all over the state. You work primarily with small farmers, or, and I'm wondering, what's a small farmer, to be honest?
The USDA gets to decide that. So for produce safety, there is a rule that was passed way back in 2011 for all produce growers. So everybody who grows produce has to comply with this and take the training. There are some exemptions in it, though. So when you get to smaller farmers who sell primarily direct to customers, those folks have some exemptions. Some of the expectations that are in this Food Safety Modernization Act produce safety rule cost a fair amount of money and a lot of time to kind of institute. And small farmers, sometimes, you know, you've got one farmer or a couple or a family and maybe a few employees. Some of those are really tricky to try to institute on a farm that size. So there's a qualified exemption for smaller farmers that sell more than half of their produce directly to customers through farmers markets, CSA, things like that. And then very small farmers that, you know, have, you know, maybe $10,000, $15,000 worth of produce sales a year, they're completely exempted. But the great thing about the training is even though some of our farmers don't need to be there, most of the people attending the trainings are small farmers. They're really invested in making sure the product they get out to their customers is super safe, because they not only is that what they want to do kind of ethically, but farmers markets vendors also know that if there's a food safety scare at a farmers market, that's just bad for everyone.
It is indeed. And I should mention that you have some firsthand experience at being involved in a small farm operation yourself.
We do. We have, my husband is the farmer. I'm the kind of overly vocal helper. but he grows 40 acres of fresh market produce. So he's working hard. We grow 50 different crops. So it's really helpful when we talk about produce safety, especially with farmers that are smaller. They really value that practical aspect, because you can talk about the science all you want and the pie in the sky best case scenario. But it's really kind of when you get to the farm, it's trying to figure out kind of where the rubber hits the road. Is it, can you do it with the staff that you have and the resources you have? So within my role at Extension, I do a lot of trying to troubleshoot different systems. Farmers all farm just a little bit differently, and they do things a certain way that they like to do them, which is kind of part of the beauty of, you know, having your own business and farming by yourself. But that means that there's no cookie cutter way to be safe with your produce. So a lot of what we do all around the state, and I work with a really great team of 10 people so that we have folks that can help all around the state. But we're able to come out to farms and troubleshoot the, you know, somebody's having a water quality problem. We can go out there and, you know, look at the water testing records and look at the water delivery system and the irrigation equipment and figure out what the problem might be and try to help them solve that problem.
What's the, you did mention a little bit about foodborne illnesses, but which ones are the most common, and what do we do to prevent them?
So the most common by far is E. coli. E. coli is the one we find in everything. To be kind of blunt, it's poop on the food. And we talk to farmers about keeping the poop off the food. So that can be a big part of what we train people in is good hand washing and sanitation. You know, we want to make sure there's not cross-contamination between on diversified farms between the livestock and the produce. You know, you don't want to use a pitchfork you're using to, you know, muck out the barns to pick your potatoes. So making sure that we kind of think all those systems through and think about where the contamination on the farm exists and how we eliminate that. It's true for wildlife, too. I mean, we grow food outside for the most part. So, you know, there's just no way to eliminate animals from the field. You have birds flying overhead, you have deer. And another part of it is just training your workers and being trained yourself to recognize when there have been animals in the area and how to spot different things that might contaminate food and have a plan of what to do, of what not to harvest and how to deal with that area so that it doesn't cross-contaminate other produce.
I'm not so sure that there have been eruptions of problems to a great extent in Wisconsin, but you wonder why we've seem to see more of these illnesses in the past decade or so.
And that's kind of complicated. So I think some of it has to do with kind of our food systems. We're moving more produce around. So, you know, there's a lot more storage and facilities and putting it on trucks and more people handling the produce. So there's just more points of contact where contamination can happen. So that's part of it. But we also have a lot more people in our population that are immune suppressed or might have special sensitivities to these foodborne illnesses. Some of the things that people can get, if you're a normal, healthy, middle-aged adult, we're not really worried that it's going to kill you or cause you long-term damage. But people are living longer. We have more people in the population that have illnesses or are undergoing therapies like chemotherapy that reduce your immune system. And of course, all those people, you know, we're telling them, eat more fruits and vegetables, you'll be healthier. And one of the things that they tell you when you're on chemo is eat really healthy. It'll help support your immune system. So we want to make sure that if we're going to advocate for people to eat healthy vegetables and things that aren't going to be cooked, that we're going to provide those things safely to them. And they don't have to worry about the produce being the danger.
Yeah. Of course, this last year, it's all about COVID, pretty much. How has this virus affected safety practices for farmers?
So in a way, it's good that we were doing the produce safety kind of first and got our feet wet with that, because it helped us think about COVID in a different way. So we had kind of the basics. So when we thought about COVID, we knew kind of how viruses are transmitted and how they can be moved around. A really important thing for people to know is that COVID is not a foodborne illness. So there's not a danger of you getting sick from COVID by going to the farmer's market and buying spinach or anything like that. Because once it goes, because it's a respiratory illness and it's not going to infect you by eating something. So it's really important people know that it's the eating of food is not how you're getting COVID. So the going to the farmer's market on that end is not the concern. But when we go to the farmer's market, we're obviously going to see lots of people, and the farmers that are at the farmer's markets are interacting with lots of people. And so there's a variety of different things that different farmers markets are doing to try to make sure that the customers are safe and the farmers are safe. We worry about the customers because we want to, you know, they're our customers and we want to treat them right. But we also worry about the farmers because a lot of farms, especially small farms, are run or managed primarily by one person. And a lot of those folks are supporting families. So we want to make sure that those farmers stay healthy so that they can keep doing their work of farming and giving us fresh produce and still have that income to help support their families too. So that it's really important to us that we kind of look out for both sides. But last March, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health Services, and Extension got together and put out some guidelines for farmers markets to help them keep people a little bit further apart, to encourage them to wear masks, to kind of reduce the amount of time people spend at the farmers market, because our goal was to really, for a very short period of time, to kind of transition farmers markets from these great community places to kind of a more transactional situation so that we could get people in, get them their healthy local food that they're looking for, and then kind of get them out of the market so that they didn't get COVID there, so that they didn't give anyone COVID if they happen to be infected and not know about it, but to try to kind of speed up that process, give people space, and get that local produce out to people quickly.
We can talk some more about that, and certainly we will be talking more about keeping our produce safe with our guest today, Kristen Krokowski. Great to have her with us again to talk about keeping your food and my food safe. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today, and you can certainly join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And again, we'll be back with our guest right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. With me, Kristen Krokowski, the commercial horticulture educator in the division of Extension at UW-Madison. She's also director of the Wisconsin Farmers Market Association, talking with her about what farmers are doing to ensure the health and safety of its customers and its employees. And we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a small farm. Love to hear your experiences and maybe what's been good about your business and where the challenges have been. So love to hear from you on that. Or maybe you're a customer with a CSA, or maybe you attend farmers markets and have some questions about them as well. You can join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kristen, were many farmers markets closed last year?
No, I heard of relatively few. So there were a couple that felt like they couldn't operate under kind of any kind of constraints. They didn't feel that they could provide a kind of a safe environment for their customers and farmers. So they decided just to kind of take a year off. Most of the markets did that were kind of struggling to begin with and were kind of on the fence about having a market. But pretty much every market, and my husband sells at six, each of them kind of went through those menu of recommendations that Extension put together with Department of Ag and Department of Health. And they kind of picked the things from that menu that they thought would work for their market based on kind of the location, how many positive COVID cases they had. And they kind of looked at that and tried to figure out which of these make the most sense for our market and how do we kind of put those in place to keep folks safe.
So as the association, maybe you could tell us more about you. You're director of the Farmers Market Association. Tell us about that association a bit more.
So this is the 10th year of the association. It got started back in 2011. And the goal of the Farmers Market Association is really specifically to support farmers market managers across the state. We don't have any kind of regulatory framework for farmers markets. And folks, you know, really great folks all across the state were starting farmers markets or managing farmers markets, mostly in isolation. So they kind of had to sort through how to do things, how to get them started, how to manage them properly, how to set up the business structure, you know, application rule, all that kind of stuff all by themselves. And so the association does a really great job of bringing those folks together, making sure that we keep them up to date on changes in the regulatory environment. If there's a change in, you know, the licensing for eggs or something like that, we make sure they know about that. Recently, we've done a lot of education about CBD oil at the farmers market, so they kind of understand what that is and what the regulatory environment is around that. But we also give them a really great platform to talk to each other. So if there's a problem at their market and they want the advice of other market managers, we've got some of our market managers have, you know, 30 years of experience managing a market. They can talk to people who have been there and done that and get a lot of different feedback and then kind of sort through it and figure out what they're going to do about that market. So it's really about kind of education and support for farmers markets.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Much needed, I would think, especially. How many farmers markets do we have? Do we even know?
A little over 300, which is quite a few.
Yeah, and are they kind of, I mean, can you go pretty much anywhere in the state and find one?
There are a couple of counties in the state where I don't have any listings for them. We do we have a website for Wisconsin farmers markets, and it has a directory for farmers markets in the state. So you can go in there and look at a map and click on your county, and it'll list all the farmers markets in your county. The last time I took a look, there were like three or four counties in the state we don't have listings for. That doesn't mean they don't have farmers markets. We just haven't found them yet. So we kind of do some digging and try to figure out anybody who's not on our list. And we update that every year to make sure it's as accurate as possible.
You know, and here's me and a whole lot of people who live in the Madison area who have this enormous, I mean, pre-COVID kind of in a way, enormous farmers market. But some of them are really pretty small, too. Are they not?
They are. I mean, some have maybe five vendors. But I think that in a lot of places, you can find fresh produce even at a farm stand if you're looking for it. And some folks, as much fun as the Madison market on the square is, that's kind of like a entertainment thing that my family will do once in a while. But we really like the smaller markets where we really know all of our vendors, and, you know, we run into people we know, and, you know, it's just familiar, and it, you know, it's just an hour or so, and it's a quick kind of in and out for us.
Yeah, I can see that. How do the farmers who are at these markets, and, you know, your husband's there, he's got six of them he goes to, how do they help keep customers or remind them to social distance and all those kinds of things that we talk about? I mean, that you, it's got to be hard.
It is. You know, some people are really, really careful about it and really conscientious about it, but not everyone is on board with wearing masks and with, you know, social distancing and things like that. And I think it's hard for people in, you know, a social environment, especially farmers markets. We're so used to stopping and talking and petting people's dogs and running into your teacher from fourth grade and, you know, talking to people. I think it's hard for people to kind of, you know, step back from that and turn it into like that transactional market. So the vendors do try. There's one market that we sell at that this past year, the customers weren't allowed to touch the produce. We had to select the produce for them. So they would say, you know, I'd like a half a dozen ears of corn, and we would select those and bag them and then give them to them so that they weren't touching all the corn while, you know, before somebody else touched it. So it's just little things like that. Most of the customers were really good. We've also done things like putting kind of like a barrier to try to make sure in front of the fruits and vegetables so that there's like 6 feet of distance between you and the farmer and the customer to try to keep both of you safe. And then there's some other kind of little things that we've done, like chalk sidewalk, the sidewalk chalk, and making 6 foot lines so people know when they're waiting in line and waiting to be helped, you know, how far away from each other to stand. It's just the little things. I think we all need little reminders of what 6 feet is, or that we're supposed to be doing that, because we kind of lose track of it, especially now when we've been doing it so long. I think it's just kind of, you know, we lose our focus on it.
I flashed on corn. When you said corn, I immediately flashed on what happens at the, I mean, when people go to pick out corn, you see them picking up, if they're going to pick a dozen, they're going to handle at least 25. Seems like.
Yeah, sure, tomatoes too. Tomatoes are the other big culprit on that one.
Oh, man. Kristen Krokowski, our guest. The questions for her are comments or maybe an experience to share relating to the farm markets and the fresh food that you get from your local farmers. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I got to believe that markets lost a lot of income this last year. I don't know if there's any way to verify that or if you have any sense of that at all.
It's been all over the place. We have some markets that were selling out, that growers were just doing the best business that they've ever had, and they were selling out of stuff. It was actually a really good growing season. It's one of the few years we haven't had a flood or a heat wave or a dry, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, so most people had a fair amount of produce. And I would say, you know, the markets that we sold at, some of them were up significantly and some of them were down significantly. So, I mean, it's like the whole saying, all politics are local. I guess all produce sales are local. So I think it just really kind of depended on where you're at and kind of the mindset of the people who were your customers. But I think a lot of people did pretty well. I think especially with some of the, you know, local shortages at grocery stores and some of the, you know, quality things, because there are problems with moving produce around. I know I'm really grateful to have, you know, fresh local produce. Because sometimes I'm not really terribly excited by the quality of what I see at the grocery store.
Let's take a call from Jeff in Superior. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day up here in the great northern part of our state. I have to tell you, when I travel, I love going to farmers markets because you can always see so many different things. In California, I've been to Malibu, Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Chicago. There's a great farmers market. But my question today is, when you buy some produce like turnips or parsnips or celery or radishes, do you recommend washing the produce? And what do you wash the produce with when you get it home?
That's a good question.
So I wash produce. I don't wash the produce when I get it home. I wash it before I use it just because a lot of times washing will hurt the shelf life of it. And I just use, I'll rinse it off with water and maybe a little bit of soap if I'm concerned. So root crops, I usually use just a tiny bit of soap and water and scrub that off. But you know, there are other things that I'll just actually just wipe off with like a cloth, like a tomato. I really don't wash tomatoes just because it hurts their long-term quality. If I'm going to use it right away, I might rinse it off with some water. But generally, by the time you get it, it may have already been washed by the farmer. But we do a lot to try to make sure that there's not anything dangerous. I know I personally ate a lot of dirt as a kid. I'm still around. So, you know, if you're in good health and, you know where your produce is coming from, I don't think you need to be really careful about how you're washing it.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Mary in Dodge County, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling because I got frustrated with at the Watertown's Farmers Market because people would not make an effort to wear a mask or keep social distance, many of them. And so I would go, and when I knew right away, the first thing in the morning, so I could race to the stands I wanted to go to because I know the producers that I buy from and so on and who have the things that I like the best and get in and out as fast as I could. But I really think people need to be more aware of making an effort to keep social distance and wear a mask. I went in the post office yesterday, so I'm waiting outside because I know the first person that went ahead of me did not wear a mask, and it's a small post office. Then I went, so I waited. Then I'm at the counter. I noticed the postmaster did not even have a mask on yesterday. And then the other thing was a lady came in there to the post office, and she's coming toward me, and I said, please wait, because one, she didn't have a mask on. And then I said, what happened to your mask? Oh, I forgot about it. And what frustrates me is the lack of concern for people wearing masks. It isn't, you know, I won't go to places because people are not wearing masks.
Yeah. Mary, thanks for calling. Kristen, a comment?
We had markets that were really, really careful about having only one area where people could enter and exit, and they policed that. And if they didn't have a mask, they had masks available to them. And I know that most of the markets a good number of the markets in the state were providing masks to anyone who didn't bring one. So I think that in general, markets are being really careful and trying to help people comply, even if it's not their, you know, nature to comply with that. And, you know, some of the markets had a rule that you had to have a mask on to be in the market. And I know one of the markets we sold at had the police called several times. So it depends on the market, how much they want to enforce the rules and what their rules are. So Watertown, you might want to drive just a little bit further if you don't feel the market's doing things the way you want to. But the other option is just trying to connect with your farmers, too, to see if you can do a pickup on farm. I know some folks don't even feel comfortable at the market, and they just found their farmers, and they said, well, can I come out on Friday afternoon and pick some stuff up? And the farmers were more than happy to help them.
Yeah. And the postmaster is a federal employee. If I'm not mistaken, President Biden has some rules about any federal agency that mask wearing is required, if I'm not mistaken. be something maybe Mary to bring up with the postmaster. David in Sauk City, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, hello. I have a question for the guest regarding, she said that COVID is not foodborne. I believe that. But at the same time, I wonder if she has any information about how long the virus can remain active on food if the person who picks it or harvests it or passes it along somehow has the virus and coughs and foodborne particles are located on the food. Is there any information available about that?
So, absolutely. And this is absolutely. And I can't tell you how many times we've had this conversations, all of us produce safety people in the country, folks from the FDA who's in charge of the produce safety rule, you know, researchers, we've all been talking about this because the last thing we want to do is put people at risk. And the information that everyone has come up with, the CDC has come up with, the FDA has come up with, these researchers have come up with, is that it's a very, very short period of time that the virus is able to infect you. So they can pick up viruses on surfaces and produce, and they can still find coronavirus on things, but it's not in a state that it can still infect you. So I think that's the important thing. The CDC says the period is so short that it's not even worth warning people about. So, you know, if somebody sneezed on an apple and handed it to you, then I probably wouldn't eat it, regardless of the COVID risk. But really, that's what we're talking about with time span. It's got to be that quick because the viruses in general just aren't terribly stable in the environment. They're really good at being stable, you know, in our saliva and things like that and moving around that way. And that's why, you know, we're wearing masks and things like that. But coronavirus sitting on a surface is really not that risky compared to everything else we could be doing.
There you go. That was a good question, David. Thank you so much. Well, where do people find out about farmers markets in their areas, by the way? Did we lose? Oh, we lost Kristen. Oh, well, I want to thank her because... maybe she'll get back. If she isn't, I will take this moment to just mention a couple of other things I've been really wanting to tell you about. There have been a couple of great news stories from recent shows, the Larry Mueller shows, and I hope you take a look at them. One had to do with the Birkebeiner, and the other had to do with the yesterday show, as a matter of fact, a story about new research into using our own immune systems to fight cancer. So you can go to the Larry Mueller show, ideas at WPR.org/Larry, and you're going to find that. And Kristen is back with, I can see your smiling face.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I went to just make sure I had the web address right, and one wrong click, and you're in trouble. So folks can just probably put Wisconsin Farmers Markets right into a search engine, but it's all one word, wifarmersmarkets.org.
And right there you're going to find all the information about at least everyone you know about.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're a farmer's market manager or you attend a farmer's market and we don't have it up there, please let us know because our goal is to make sure that people can find farmer's markets no matter where they live. I know, you know, when we go on vacation, we go to farmer's markets too. And we use those directories to try to find the farmer's markets and try to figure out which Saturday market we want to go to. So, any information people can give us, we're more than happy to those markets up there.
Kristen, thanks a lot. It's good talking with you, and I always look forward to seeing you, and thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
Kristen Krokowski, the commercial horticulture educator in the Division of Extension at UW-Madison and director of the Wisconsin Farmers Market Association. So it's great to have her with us. Again, I want to point you back to those articles. I was really intrigued with our show yesterday on researchers using our immune system, ways to use our immune system to fight cancer. And I hope you'll go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry. Take a look at our blog. Tomorrow we talk home improvement with John Freiberger, how to keep your home warmer for less money during these cold temperatures. In the meantime, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us, though. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.